Number 214 in your song, or I'm sorry, 294. Trust His Word, 294.
Jesus made.
That's a rich song, isn't it? Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 13 again. Want to look at verse number 1 for a few verses there, and then we'll read the passage that we have already read. 1 Kings, chapter number 13. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah, by the word of the Lord unto Bethel. And Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried, that is the prophet, cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born into the house of David, Josiah by name, and upon thee shall he offer the priests of the high places that burn incense upon thee. And men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, This is the sign which the Lord hath spoken. Behold, the altar shall be rent, and the ashes that are upon it shall be poured out. And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which had cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, Lay hold on him. And his hand, which he put forth against him, dried up, so that he could not pull it in again to him. The altar also was rent, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And said unto the man of God, Entreat now the face of the Lord thy God, and pray for me, that my hand may be restored me again. And the man of God besought the Lord, and the king's hand was restored him again, and it became as it was before. And the king said unto the man of God, Come home with me, and refresh thyself, and I'll give thee a reward. And the man of God said unto him, unto the king, If thou wilt give me half thine house, I will give thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water in this place, For so it was charged me by the word of the Lord, saying, Eat no bread, nor drink water, nor turn again by the same way thou camest. So he went another way, and returned not by the way that he came to Bethel. Now there dwelt an old prophet in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. The words which he had spoken unto the king also told also to their father. And their father said unto them, What way went he? For his sons had seen what way the man of God went when he came from Judah. And he said unto his sons, Saddle me the ass. So they saddled him the ass, and he rode thereon, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak. And he said unto him, Art thou the man of God that camest from Judah? He said, I am. Then he said unto him, Come and eat bread. And he said, I may not return with thee, nor go in with thee, neither will I eat bread nor drink water with thee in this place. For it was told me by the word of the Lord, Thou shalt eat no bread nor drink water there, nor turn again to go by the way that thou camest. And he said unto him, I'm a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread. But he lied unto him. So he went back with him, and did eat bread in his house, and drank water. I want you to notice verse 18 again. He said unto him, I'm a prophet also, as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But he lied unto him. Talk about, but he lied. But he lied. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word and what it means to us. We do want to trust your word above all else. Help us. Strengthen us in that regard this morning, I pray. I pray that you'd fill me with thy Holy Spirit, that you'd minister through me to us, that each of us would yield to your Holy Spirit in our lives and stand upon. If there's someone here that is not truly born again, may they come to trust Jesus Christ today as their personal Savior. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. He said unto him, I'm a prophet also as thou art. And an angel spake unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, Bring him back with thee into thine house, that he may eat bread and drink water. But lied unto him. But he lied unto him. A little background, because of Solomon's departure from worshiping God alone, and instead worshiping the false gods of his foreign wives, God said he'd tear the kingdom from Solomon after his death. There are a few things to consider about that before we go on. First, God had warned the kings of Israel not to multiply wives unto themselves, especially women from the godless culture around them. Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with what? With unbelievers. But the Bible says about Solomon that he loved many strange women, strange not meaning weird, but strange being foreign. They may have been weird too, but anyway. Solomon loved many strange women together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Edomites, the Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, You shall not go to them, neither shall they come in unto you, for surely they will turn away your heart after their gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. God bless that man, right? And his way his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. For Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Ashtaroth was the moon goddess of the Phoenicians, representing the past. It was their principal female deity, often associated with the name of Baal, the sun god. There was a temple of this goddess among the Philistines in Saul's time, also called Ishtar. She was one of the great deities of the Assyrians. The Phoenicians called her Astarte. Solomon introduced worship of that idol, and Jezebel's 400 priests were probably in service as well, also called the Queen of Heaven. Milcom, meaning great king, was the god of the Ammonites and Phoenicians, to whom some Israelites sacrificed their infants in the Valley of Hinnom, the Valley of the Son of Hinnom, also called Molech. And so Solomon, in multiplying wives unto himself, let those women draw him away to false gods. The Bible says, he did evil in the sight of the Lord and went not fully after the Lord, Jehovah, his God, as the Lord, as David, his father. So Solomon had drifted into idolatry. And then a second thought with that is, just for our sake, is this. Even the wisest of people become foolish when he departs from the command of God's word. The wisest of people become foolish when they depart from the commandments of God's word. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Third thing to consider about Solomon was that when he died, Solomon's son Rehoboam did not follow the wisdom of the older men in the kingdom, in our nation. Is that young people are not following the wisdom of the old, they're creating their own new wisdom. Very big danger. Solomon's son, Rehoboam, did not follow the wisdom of the older men in the kingdom. Instead, following the prideful advice of his peers, his actions became unwise toward the people of the Israeli kingdom, and God ripped 10 tribes away under a man named Jeroboam, who had been an enemy of Solomon. This Jeroboam is the one we read about here. He led the 10 northern tribes of Israel to revolt against Solomon's son, Rehoboam, and they split away from Rehoboam, leaving him only the tribe of Judah and some of the tribe of Benjamin. The northern kingdom then became called Israel through the rest of the kings and chronicles. It was called Israel. And the southern kingdom, just one tribe, Judah, and some of Benjamin, became called Judah. And they remained a split kingdom until the captivity of the northern kingdom and later of the southern kingdom. As soon as Jeroboam took the northern kingdom, he set up a false god, Baal, in Bethel and said, Israel, this is your god. And Israel, the northern kingdom, from the point they separated from the southern kingdom, Israel began to worship the false god instead of the one true God, the living God, the God of Israel. This is where our story comes in. God called an unnamed prophet from Judah to proclaim judgment on Jeroboam and on the altar of the false god in Bethel. So the prophet proclaimed God's judgment on the altar, prophesying that a son of David, a descendant of David, named Josiah, would offer the priests on the altar and burn their bones upon it, which happened over 300 years later. When God sent this unnamed prophet to Bethel, he was told not to eat or drink in that place, and he was not to return the same way that to Bethel. Just as an aside, out of curiosity, how many of you often go a different way home from the way that you went somewhere? Raise your hand. We're good and high. Okay, that's about half of us. I'm a nut like that. It seems like I never go the same way. But anyway, just hope that I remember my way home. Thank God for GPS. It says home on it, and it can find me the place. But anyway, he was not to go back the same way that he'd traveled to Bethel. So, as we read, after the prophet preached to Jeroboam and the altar, we saw the sign. The altar was dumped out, the ashes dumped out. Jeroboam's arm became stiff. He pointed, "Get that man!" His arm came like a rock. He said, pray to God for me. Prophet, got my arm back, amen. And as soon as he got done preaching there, Jeroboam invited him, the king, Jeroboam of the northern kingdom, invited the prophet from the southern kingdom to stay and eat and drink water with him. And the prophet refused. Amen? He said, no. God told me not to eat or drink in this place and not to go back the same way. Repeated the word of God. Then he headed home, following a different pathway than he had traveled to get to Bethel. In the meantime, the sons of an older prophet that dwelt there in Bethel heard and saw what had happened at Bethel and went and told their older prophet, telling the words about all that this prophet had spoken. The older prophet had the young man saddle his donkey. The older prophet pursued that prophet from Judah, knowing the direction he went because his sons watched where he went. Donkey goes faster than a man walking, and he overtook him. And we read there where he said in verse 18, "I'm a prophet as thou art. And an angel spoke unto me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with me to thine house that he may eat and drink water. But he lied unto him." Angel didn't speak to him. God didn't tell him to do that. He lied. But the prophet, it says, so he went back with him and did eat bread in his house and drank water. And it came to pass, if you would read on with me in verse 20, it came to pass as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came to the prophet that brought him back. Now he gets God's word. And he cried unto the man of God that came from Judah, saying, "Thus saith the Lord, for as much as thou hast disobeyed the mouth of the Lord and the commandment which the Lord thy God commanded thee, but camest back and hast eaten bread and drunk water in the place of the which the Lord did say to thee, eat no bread and drink no water, thy carcass shall not come unto the sepulchre of thy fathers." And it came to pass after he'd eaten bread and after he'd drunk that he saddled for him the ass, to wit, for the prophet for whom he'd brought back. And when he was gone, a lion met him by the way and slew him. The ass was cast in the way, and the ass stood by it, and the lion also stood by the carcass. Again, verse 18. But he lied unto him. But he lied unto him. The man from Judah was a prophet. He spoke what God had told him. The man from Bethel, but he spoke to this other prophet what God did not tell him. He lied unto the prophet from Judah. He was convincing, but he lied unto him. He spoke with authority, but he lied unto him. He seemed kind and gracious. "Come home with me. Let me feed you. Give you some water." But he lied unto him. Older and may have seemed wiser, but he lied unto him. The prophet from Judah trusted him, but he lied unto him. The prophet from Judah believed the older prophet, but he lied unto him. What the older prophet said unto the prophet from Judah seemed reasonable, But he lied unto him. The older prophet, what God said, he lied unto him. There are a lot of people who speak about spiritual things today, but they lie. There are a lot of people who speak out about what God commanded, contradicting what we know the Bible says, but they lie. From the beginning of time, the devil has been driven to cause people to doubt the word, but he lies unto them. Satan told Eve that she would not surely die if she obeyed God's commandment, but he lied unto her. We're all under the cloud of condemnation. Satan lied. When wicked King Ahab asked godly King Jehoshaphat to join him to battle against the Syrians at Ramoth-Gilead, prophets, all of Ahab's prophets but one, told Ahab and Jehoshaphat, go on into battle, you'll have victory. They lied. A lying spirit in them deceived King Ahab, and he went to battle and even disguised himself, took off his royal attire, disguised himself. But an archer from the Syrian army just took a bow, and that adventure just, and where did it land? But in the heart of Ahab. Wounding him so he died, and when he died, they took his chariot and washed the blood out of the chariot, and the dogs came and licked up his blood as God's word had previously said. His prophets said he'd have victory, but they lied. In speaking to people in his day, Jesus made an interesting statement. Jesus said that they who didn't believe on him, they who were willfully rejecting him, Jesus said they were of their father, the devil. Listen to what he said. You're of your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father he will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he's known, for he's a liar and the father of it. That's what Jesus said about Satan. Though they did not believe Jesus, they did believe their father, the devil, but he lied unto them. You know, when the rapture takes place, the trumpet will sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. When that takes place, the Bible says this, even him whose coming is after the work of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. When we're taken out, the rapture takes place. The Antichrist will rise and pose himself as God and tell people, you know, you can buy and sell if you'll take my mark. He'll present himself as God, but he lies. People will believe the lie. Now, here's the prophet from Judah. God had told him to do something, and he did it in the power of God. And he resisted to go against the word of God until someone came out and actually contradicted God's word, and he conceded. God then sent a lion to kill him. Because he failed to follow God's command but was deceived by the older prophet, he lied unto him. It's interesting. God held this man accountable for being deceived, believing a lie. And the lion slew him in the way. This prophet from Judah had staked his life on God's word. He had left Judah to go into idolatrous Israel, believing the word of God. He'd pronounce judgment in the face of the king of Israel, Jeroboam, risking his life. But then he let his life be altered by another prophet. And God held that prophet from Judah accountable. Listen, we're accountable for what we believe. Amen? We're accountable for what we believe. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, regardless of the reason. Yeah, but they told me and they're trustworthy. Doesn't matter. The wages of sin is death. Yeah, but they're so nice. These people are so nice. And they say these things are all right. But they lie. The wages of sin is death. Listened to someone other than God who lied, and he paid the price. Being deceived is a terrible thing. Probably everyone in some way or another has been deceived by someone. You believe something that wasn't true. Later you found it out not to be true. Being deceived is a terrible thing, but it happens to people, in this instance, who refuse to hold on to what God has said. Rejection of God's truth or departure from it leaves a vacuum, a void for deception. People that turn away from the truth are opening the cavity between their ears for being deceived. Being deceived is a result of not believing and relying on the truth, instead believing and relying on something that is not true. People that contradict God's word may seem and sound convincing, but they lie. Throughout history, ungodly men have disagreed with God's word, but they lied. Romans 1:25 says about them who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator who's blessed, they lied. Modern preachers may say there's no hell, but they lie. Jesus emphatically warned of eternal fire. There is a hell. I don't care what the prominent intellectuals may say about the Bible. I've had people tell me that seemed, tried to act like they were smart and tell me things that I knew wasn't true. Like some know about a bunch about cars and tell me stuff, and I know a little bit about cars. And I say to myself, that guy's just running off the mouth. He doesn't even know what he's talking about. I don't care what prominent intellectuals would say about the Bible. The Bible says, let God be true, but every man a liar. God's true. His word is true. In John, 1 John 2:22, it says, who's a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus, he's Antichrist, that denieth the Father and the Son. When someone denies that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, God the Son, the Savior of the world, they lie. It's a lie. Amen? It's a lie. So-called Christians may say, well, it's okay to live as you please today. They may say it's okay to drink alcohol or take other intoxicating drugs. They do say it's okay to engage in premarital sex. They may say it's okay to forsake the house of God for pleasures. They may say it's okay to be just like the unsaved world, but I want to say, but they lie. Some people add their own words to God's word as if God spoke to them. Proverbs 30 and verse 6 says, add thou not unto his words, lest he thou be found a liar. Brother Randy, Johnny and I were out calling last Thursday night, and one of the calls we made, we hit a couple places and found nobody home, and then we went to the hospital to call on Pat Dill. As we were leaving the hospital, we were walking down the hallway, the front hallway there where they have the pull-in place where people can pick up patients who were leaving the hospital and so on. And this guy was standing there, and I acknowledged him. I said, hi, I do. If somebody catches my eye, I'm going to speak to them. And but this particular guy, when he saw me, he said, you're a preacher, right? I must have had it written all over my face. Of course, carrying a big family Bible helped, right? No, I was carrying a New Testament. He said, you're a preacher, right? And I said, yes. He said, I think I know you. I didn't think I knew him, but he thought he knew me. And then, I couldn't get a word in. And he started saying, talking about his spiritual enlightenment. He said he'd been in Texas and he picked up a red salamander that he said was not normally in that area because it was indigenous. He got his words mixed up there, didn't he? But anyway, he said he picked up a red salamander and God that he needed to buy a necklace from this man who was a thief, buy that necklace that had diamonds on it. And so he bought that necklace from a thief because God told him to do it. And then he said, and then I looked up through those diamonds at the eclipse and I said, you burnt your eyes out, right? I did. I said that, but he just went on. And I saw the planets line up in line. I'm not making this up. I'm saying it with Brother Randy Gunn, but he'll verify. He said, I saw the planets line up, and I saw a cross, and I was told that I was the man of sorrows, me. I said, no, you're not the man of sorrows. Jesus is. You know what I say? But he lied. I was at a meeting. I've told you about this before. I was out calling one night, and I was out in Watervliet, and I made the calls, and it was late, but I was driving by this place, and there was an advertisement for a woman preacher there. And so I said, I'm just going to see what this is all about. I put on my mullet wig that I have in the car. No, not really. I didn't really. So he could see me, right? I didn't. I walked in and sat for a while. And then she told about, she was advertising the books that she was selling. And one of them was To Hell and Back, that she had been to hell and back. And so she was telling everybody what hell was like. And she had another book, incidentally, that was that she'd been to heaven and back. She got around. You know what I say? But she lied. The truth is in Jesus Christ. And freedom from deception is found for those who continue in his word. Jesus said in John 8:31, then said Jesus to the Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Ephesians 4:21 says, if so be that you've heard him, speaking of Jesus, and have been taught by him, speaking of Jesus, as the truth is in Jesus. Friend, this morning, we'll never go wrong trusting the Bible. Psalms 119:30 says, I've chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have for me. Parallel thoughts. I've chosen the way of truth. I've put it in front of me. Thy judgments have I laid before me. They go together. The safest place for the child of God, as the prophet from Judah found out, is in the pathway of obedience to God's word. We're to arm ourselves with truth. Pilate asked Jesus, yet Jesus said in prayer to the Father, thy word is truth. What we need to do over and over again is decide that we'll be like the Apostle Paul and say, wherefore, sirs, Be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. The Bible says each of us needs to be saved through the finished work of Jesus Christ to go to heaven. The Bible says each of us needs to be saved through the finished work of Jesus Christ in order to go to heaven. Anything else is a lie. Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the what? Truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Anybody that presents any way of salvation, tons or subtractions, I have to say, but he lied. But he lied. Well, if you believe that Jesus died for you, and if you'll get baptized, and if you'll be faithful and obedient all your days, you'll go to heaven. That's a lie. You get saved by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did, and he saves you, and he keeps you, and he'll take you to heaven. And you ought to be faithful after you receive him as Savior, but your salvation's not hidden. If anybody says it is, I say it's a lie. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible teaches that we're saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'll believe the Bible. I'll believe the Bible. The Bible said, except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. In other words, each person must be saved by calling on Jesus Christ, or it's not heaven for them. The Bible also teaches that we who are saved need to live faithfully for Jesus Christ, telling others about his saving grace and living exemplary lives for his glory. The Bible teaches that. Amen. Anything else is a lie. We're not saved to live as we please. We're not saved to follow our own desires. We're not saved to follow what's popular. We're saved by the Word of God and reflect his love and grace to others. One songwriter said, we're saved, saved to tell others. That's what it's all about. We are saved, need to live faithfully for Jesus Christ, and that means that we, as is told in the Great Commission, are brought to a saving knowledge of Christ, and then we're taught to obey whatever he's commanded them. The prophet from Judah started out good. He's a prophet of God. The name doesn't matter. It's God he represented. And he went with spiritual boldness, perhaps some personal fear, but he went with boldness, and he proclaimed the word of God to King Jeroboam. They worshiped idols. And he stood up to the king. But someone else, who seemed to be somewhat spiritual, told him something that was a lie, and he believed and was deceived and ruined because of it. I found in my years of ministry that there's a lot of people that claim to speak for God that are lying. Better get in the Word of God. Jesus said, you continue in his Word, your disciples indeed in reality, and the truth will set you free. I'd ask a question. To whom are you listening today? God's Word is truth. You know, when Adam and Eve sinned, they said, God said, why have you hidden yourselves? Because we're naked. No, God said, who told you that? You've been listening to somebody who has lied unto you. To whom are you listening? Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. For I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. The prophet from Judah listened to another prophet, but he lied. And I implore God's people today to make sure that your faith, as we sung about, has found a resting place in the written word of God, in the person of in the shed blood of Jesus Christ alone. If your faith is in the Baptist church, you're not saved. If your faith is in Pastor Whitman, that's not salvation. Your faith must be in the person and work of Jesus Christ and Him alone, based upon the written word of God that never fails. The Bible says it's alive, it's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing into the dividing asunder spirit, discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Someone could tell me, this Bible don't work because it's outdated. I want to tell them, you just read it. And I'll watch it work. Amen? It works. We just have to work it. Somebody comes along someday, God leads, calls me out, or God takes me home. And someone comes into the pulpit here and says, you know, we're not really sure that the Bible is all the Word of God. I want you to grab them by the ears and yank them out. Amen? And say, but he lied. Someone comes along, says, you know what? It's not important how we live as Christians. It just matters that we died. Well, the grace of God teaches us that denying all ungodliness, we're to live soberly, righteously in this present world. That's what God's grace teaches. Someone comes along and says, I just don't believe what they believed in past. You better be careful, amen? One of my goals and one of my deep driving passions as a preacher of the gospel in 2018 is that what I pass on to you from the Word of God is the same as what was passed on to me and passed on to them, and passed on to them. God's word has not changed. I don't care if I'm in the 70s, 80s, 90s, zeros, tens, 20s, 30s, God's word's the same. God holds us accountable for what we choose to believe. It's always a choice. That guy sounds right. Maybe I should listen to him. But if it's different than what God's word says, he's lying. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your word, and I pray the Holy Spirit would stamp upon our hearts the importance of trusting your word, its truth, standing upon it, sharing it, living it, holding firm unto it, regardless of what comes against us. Even in our day, as people mock those who trust your word, may we stand firm upon the Bible. Father, if there's any Christians here this morning that are blown away by something someone's telling them that's contrary to what the Bible teaches, may they think of the prophet from Judah. And may they realize that deceivers mislead, and we need to hold to your word. Heavenly Father, I pray that lives may be salvaged from contemplating this truth today. And then, Lord, if it's not saved, I pray they'd not listen to any other voice. But they'd listen to that voice of the Holy Spirit that says, come and trust Jesus today. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be saved. Come unto me, ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, may they hear that voice. And Lord, if there's someone that is not saved, may they yield to the voice of the Lord Jesus calling unto them to come and drink the water of life freely. Speak to our hearts today, we pray in Jesus' name. with our heads bowed and our eyes are closed, I wonder if there's any Christian who'd say, Pastor, you know what? I have to admit, I've been listening to people that contradict the Word of God. Maybe it's friends. Maybe it's family. But I don't want to veer off into destructive mode like the prophet from Judah. I want to be firm and true to God. Pray that God would give me the grace and strength and stamina to stay true to His Word. Who'd slip up their hand this morning? Amen. Who else? Amen. Thank you. I wonder if there's someone here that'd say, Preacher, I'm not saved. I know the Holy Spirit's been encouraging me, nudging my heart to get saved. But I have a voice that says, wait, or another time. But today I'm going to listen to the voice of God and come and put Christ as my Savior in my heart, calling upon Him to be my Savior today. I wonder who'd say, Preacher, that's me. I need Christ today. Who'd slip up their hand? Anybody? Anybody at all? Shall we stand together, please? Father, bless this invitation time, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Number 328, only. Come every soul, my sin oppressed, there's mercy with the Lord, and He will surely give you rest by trusting in His Word. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you.
Don't forget tonight after the evening service, brief business meeting. I hope you'll be here for the service tonight. I'm going to be sharing some thoughts from last Sunday morning that I think making application of some things. And also we'll be doing the Lord's Supper. And so we want you to be back here tonight for our service. Thankful for your love and goodness. Lord, we stand in awe of how seriously you take it when it comes to our response to your word and obedience to it. Help us to be faithful, that we might before you hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, because we have obeyed your word and done what you wanted to do us to do as Christians. Help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed.